Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Orlando Magic Live, our weekly show talking everything about the Orlando Magic. We're coming to you post-game tonight after the Orlando Magic fall to the Phoenix Suns 107-104 to close out their West Coast road trip. I am Philip Rossman-Reich of Orlando Magic Daily. I'm, of course, joined by the one and only pun master Zach Oliver of Orlando Pinstripe Post. I'm just doing that to needle him because he hates puns very much. Zach, are you doing okay today?
I am doing fantastic today, actually. So it's a good day, and you know, a poor performance by the Magic can't bring that down.
Yeah, let's definitely talk about this game specifically, since we're airing immediately after the game. If anyone is watching, please feel free to drop a question in the question and answer section of the Google Hangout. We'd love to take your questions live. That's part of the reason why we want to do these live Google Hangouts, is so that we can have some interaction with our followers and with our readers on the two Magic sites that we run. But Zach, the Orlando Magic coming into this game, they already have a winning road trip clinched at 3-1 after the win over the Nuggets last night. They looked really, really sluggish. They come back in the fourth quarter, 10-0 run to erase a 10-point deficit. They keep making the plays to give themselves a chance. They're down three late. They have an opportunity to tie the game down 2. Fournier misses a shot. Vucevic misses a shot. Then Oladipo misses a 3 with the Magic down by 3 points. Fournier tries to draw a foul, doesn't quite get it, and the Magic fall. What are your general takeaways from tonight's game? It seems like it's like a lot of the Magic games so far. You can either look at it positively or look at it pessimistically.
Yeah, I think that tonight's maybe a little bit of an anomaly because they've played well during this road trip. You know, one could argue that they should have been 4-1 heading in, or 4-0 heading into tonight. And then, you know, I tweeted this. I thought that they had a pretty good energy level early, despite, you know, some shots not falling, especially considering this, at least to me, had a little bit of a schedule loss feeling. You know, bookend of the road trip, second end of the back-to-back after playing in Denver, which is never easy. And, you know, they were sluggish last night. We didn't know exactly if they'd have Aaron Gordon. You know, we both talked about this to each other during the game. You know, we thought that it might be another good night to rest Aaron, and then the third quarter happened and they laid an egg, which they hadn't done since what, that Cleveland game?
I would say since was the Sacramento game before the Cleveland game? I think it was.
Yeah, that was Saturday.
And it's certainly since the lineup change. And you know, I think that, I mean, that third quarter to me was the difference in the game.
Like, yeah,
you can talk about some maybe missed calls, some missed opportunities in the fourth quarter. And when you get into a close game, you're going to miss shots. There's going to be some variability and some randomness. But what needs to be consistent is effort level and execution. And that's something that Scott Skiles is always preaching. Effort level and execution. He throws guys in that are going to execute the stuff that they run, and if you're not giving the effort, he's going to take you out too. Tonight we didn't see a lot of that, and you know, I know there was, you know, one of my writers, Zach Palmer, noted that, you know, earlier in the season, you know, Skiles might have yanked some of these players out for some of the effort that they were showing. Yeah. There was just a lack of precision all game long, especially in that third quarter, as Eric Bledsoe and Brandon Knight were both getting into the lane at will. They weren't finding there was no back line to make them pass the ball or make them get into a tough shot. Now the Magic found that again in the fourth quarter, so it wasn't like they didn't have it. I agree, this had schedule loss written all over it. The fact that the Magic lost this game doesn't necessarily perturb me. It's the way that they lost this game. The fact that they didn't have energy, they didn't play with effort. It wasn't all credit to the Suns. They made the shots, they made the plays, they made the adjustments to win the game. But to me, it felt in some ways that the Magic were doing a lot of things to themselves. Like they put themselves in a hole in many ways with some, again, for the second straight night, careless turnovers, unforced errors. Missing shots is okay. That's going to happen. Offensive lack of execution, that's going to happen. But defensive effort, you know, being in the right spot, helping guys out, communicating more than anything else. There are definitely a few times where the Magic they were in the wrong coverage, and that left the man open, and that left the team scrambling. And so when you see the team committing a lot of fouls like they did in the third quarter, that's when you tend to see this team have some problems.
Yeah, and, you know, I thought in the first half, you know, generally, I thought the defense was okay. You know, I thought that the guards did a really good job of slowing some things down, and they were playing passing lanes really well, and they were just wreaking havoc. And I made the comment on Twitter, and I made it to you, that Elford was phenomenal defensively in the first half. I mean, he was everywhere. But, you know, the Bigs struggled. You know, Phoenix's mobility with Mirza Teletovic and John Luehr just completely took Channing Frye and Nikola Vucevic out of the game. I thought that Vuce, you know, this was something that Zach Palmer was harping on. I thought Vuce was pretty poor defensively tonight. And, you know, maybe this is a game where you give Dwayne Dedmon a look and you go small with Dedmon at the five, and then, you know, maybe go like Tobias, Evan, Victor, and Elfrid, and, you know, spread the floor some and then have your anchor in there. But I think what this game showed us, there's still issues with this team. And you noted this just before we came on air. They can't play one quarter and expect to win a game. Because, look, you might be able to do that against Denver, and no ill will or no offense to the Nuggets. They're not in a position to compete this season. And the Suns are just a better team. Even without Tyson Chandler and Markieff Morris, they're better than Denver. So you can't do that against good to, you know, maybe not great, but, you know, that middle of the pack in the West, you know, a team that's going to be fighting for the eighth seed, you know, when the season ends. So it puts a damper on the road trip to an extent, especially with Cleveland coming to town on Friday night. And we know their struggles have been well documented of late. So that could be that could turn ugly for the Magic real quickly.
Yeah, and especially with another road trip, with another road game coming up, the Magic are flying back to Orlando tonight. They'll get in at about 5 a.m. This morning, about the time I'm probably going to get to sleep. Friday could be another little bit of a schedule loss, you know, as body clocks, you know, kind of get back on track, having one day in between. And I mean, in all fairness, like, we kind of call that a schedule loss. Phoenix was just in the same situation, coming off a 6-game East Coast trip, coming home tonight, you know, with a day of rest in between. It obviously isn't ideal. For those listening, be sure to drop a question in the Q&A. Zach and I want to interact with you during the show. So feel free to drop a question in the Q&A on the Google Hangout. We'll take your questions live on the air. We'll be on for about another 15, maybe 20 minutes as we talk here. But I did note earlier that, you know, you can either look at this game, you know, negatively or positively in some ways, depending on how you want to look at it. And I do think both have some weight. And you know, I think one thing that we saw on this road trip is we saw that the Magic are capable of winning games ugly like this. The Utah game, I don't think, was a particularly clean game for this team. The Denver game certainly wasn't. And tonight's game, they had, you know, for all as bad as they played, and they did play terribly, and that should be the main focus, they still had a chance to win this game. They still had possession with a chance to tie the game. And so
even that Minnesota game kick off the road trip got kind of ugly. You know, the Magic were up big, and then they just kind of fell flat on their face. So, you know, I think that we've seen the progress, and, you know, you and me both talked about this, you know, at games, on Twitter, you know, in previous podcasts, that this West Coast road trip is really the barometer to see where this team is. You know, I still think that there's a lot of unanswered questions, obviously, because, again, we still haven't seen them healthy in getting close to a month now. I mean, CJ Watson's been out, and I think that the second unit's completely different with him in compared to Shabazz Napier. So, you know, we learned some, but there's still questions that we're going to be asking. I don't know. Do you think that's fair?
I think that's really fair. You know, we do. I mean, we talked about this ad nauseum, and you know, I hate to say this again, but I actually think both this previous stretch of five games that the Magic just completed out on the West Coast, as well as the next set of games where the Magic are home, are really two critical parts of the season. They were the critical parts of the season last year in many ways, because the Magic came back from West Coast road trip 2-3 last year, which for that team was a positive sign. They won some games. They played tough with Golden State. You know, they had some positive momentum, and then they came home and they lost it all. So, you know, the work, just because the Magic went 3-2 on the road doesn't mean the work is done. It's far from done, in fact. My big takeaway from this West Coast trip was how much work is left to do. Yes, the Magic are winning, and that shows that they're better than they were last year, and I think that shows that they've bought in to what Coach Skiles is preaching, and they're seeing the results, and they're really picking up momentum on it. However, there's still some vigilance that needs to be there, because there were some bad habits throughout this entire West Coast trip. They go through long stretches where they didn't play defense at the level that they'll need to play defense at to sustain this type of play. Their offense isn't consistent yet. They can't rely on their offense to win them games. And so their defense has to be their backbone, and it's still getting there. We saw them lose a 17-point lead against Minnesota and have to eke that game out. Utah was another really tight game that could have gone either way, and the Magic had to kind of grind their way through it with a really good defensive quarter. LA, they had a 10-point lead in the fourth quarter, let that slip, and it cost them that time. That time it got them. Denver was a really ugly game. They played really, 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 really good defense for, you know, the second half, and especially in the fourth quarter, and that won them the game. And then tonight we see they you know, play decent defense, probably well enough to keep them in the game in the first half. They lay an egg in the third quarter. I don't have the by quarter stats up yet, but you know, Josh Robbins of the Orlando Sentinel noted that the Suns made 12 of 17 shots in the third quarter. Worse than that, though, if I'm not mistaken, the Suns grabbed 3 offensive rebounds. And so when you're looking at an offensive rebound rate above 50%, you know, that's putting you in a big hole. And, you know, the Magic dug down deep. They found something, which is good, that they have that in them, that they can find the impetus to play that high level of defense. And it's good that they know that. Now it's the same problem that we had at the beginning of the season or earlier in the season when we talked like this. They've got to do that consistently. That's got to be who they are. And there can't be long lapses, or else they're going to find themselves in these 50-50 ball games. And, you know, 50-50 ball games are exactly that. You don't know what's going to happen. It could come down to, you know, I don't blame referees for losses, but it could come down to a referee deciding, you know, a judgment call that you can't review. Victor Oladipo has possession of the ball on a jump ball, new shot clock, Suns get the ball with a fresh clock and a chance to extend their lead. Or, you know, the referee deciding, I'm not calling that foul. You drew the contact. You know, I'm letting you play this time. You know, I'm sure you do too. I get a lot of, oh, the refs jobbed us on that call. The refs are making judgment calls. That's their job. Their job is to make decisions. Sometimes they make wrong decisions. Good teams, and I say this all the time, good teams don't win close games. They avoid them. The Magic have been in a lot of close games this year. They're winning them now. And that's a huge step forward for this team. But if they want to be a good team, if they want to be a playoff team, they got to start putting some teams away. When they're up 17 against the Wolves, they got to put them away and have that game be done. When they're up 10 against the Clippers on the road, they got to put that game away. They got to win that game. You're right. They should have been 4-0 entering this Phoenix game. And then, you know, when they're playing the Suns, you can't just let them walk into the lane, you know, unimpeded and take you apart like the Magic did tonight. And so that was really my big takeaway from the West Coast trip, is there are a lot of really good things going on with this team. They've got some resolve. They got some metal. They've got the ability to play very high level defense. This is the best defense we've seen the Magic play since Dwight Howard was here. But they still got a lot of things to work out, and they've still got to find that consistency. And we may be searching all season for that, to be frank. I know that was a lot.
Yeah.
Kind of went on a rant.
No, you, a couple of things. You touched on the officiating. This is something that the Rich Eisen says, you know, whenever it comes to, you know, tough officiating calls or what have you, you always have to play better than the ref's ref. I mean, that's, you can't rely on the refs to go and make a call and save you. You know, I think that was something that hurt them late. Maybe, you know, I think that Evan made to an extent the right play. You know, you have to try to draw contact with a bigger, less mobile guy in Alex Lennon guarding you. But at the same time, you need to try to get a clean shot off. And you touched on the Suns in the third quarter. 13 of 19 from the field, 0 of 3 from 3, 9 of 11 from the free throw line, 4 offensive rebounds. Turned the ball over 7 times, the same amount as the Magic did, but turned the Magic's 7 turnovers into 12 points.
So you're telling me they had 4 offensive rebounds on 5 missed field goals in the third quarter?
On 6 missed field goals, yes.
6 missed field goals. Jeez.
So a 66% offensive rebounding rate? Which
I believe that is, if I math correctly, I believe that is correct.
Yeah. Last time I checked, that's pretty good. But
not if you're the Magic.
I do think that we're still seeing this team search for that consistency. And as you said, it might take them all season. I mean, they're still really young, and you know, young players go through stretches of inconsistent play. You know, we saw with Elfrid at the beginning of the season, you know, he was struggling a bit, and then the lineup changed and he's kind of gotten a little bit of new life in these last 8 to 10 games, and he's played exceptionally well. I think he's probably been one of, if not the best player on the team over that stretch. You know, which we talked about it before, Evan Fournier, who started the season scorching hot. You know, he's had stretches before in his career where he's very streaky, and I think we're seeing him go through one of those lulls right now. You know, I think seeing the ball go through a few times tonight, even though he didn't get that call on the final play, is going to be good for him. And you know, the thing about Evan is, and you and I both know this from talking to him so much, he's never going to lack the confidence to take a big shot when he needs to. So I think moving forward, that's going to help the team some, but they just need to, they need the defense to be the backbone still. And you said it before, and they're just not there quite yet. You know, maybe this final stretch of the calendar year will help them. They play, let me see, I have it right here. I know they have 2 games on the road, one against Brooklyn, which is Monday night, and then they play the following Monday in New York. The rest of the games, Cleveland at home, Charlotte on Star Wars night at home, Portland on Hedo Turkoglu night at home, Atlanta at home, Houston at home 2 days before Christmas, Miami the day after Christmas at home, the Pelicans the following Monday, and then Brooklyn at home to finish out their schedule for the current year. So they have some winnable games, and they're playing teams that they're going to be fighting for playoff spots. And I think this is going to be a really good gauge, because they've shown some success against some Western Conference teams, some Eastern Conference teams. Can they do it against the Eastern Conference teams they're going to be fighting for playoff seeding with? Because, you know, I went into the season thinking that the East was going to be better. I didn't think it'd be this good, but it's considerably better than it's been in the last few years.
Yes, much, much better. And, you know, our you know, it's a lot tougher, but, you know, I get the feeling that some people might be accusing me of bragging on the Magic or saying they're not good or whatever. I'm not saying that at all. The Magic are a significantly better team. I feel comfortable, like, if I'm a Magic fan, and I am, I feel comfortable enough to say this team is at that borderline playoff 500 level. I'm comfortable, you know, believing that this team is there. I mean, I was on the low end of the projections. I was a little more conservative at 35 wins. That feels more like a floor at this point, in a lot of ways. This team is a lot better. Now, I'm a big believer, you know, not a believer, but there is a phenomenon that expectations slide as the season goes on. My expectations were the Magic would be competitive, they'd be in the playoff race. That may still come to be true, that they fall off just a little bit as the season moves on. But you know, when you look at this team and what they've accomplished so far and what they've done, you know that you get this feeling that there is this extra step, that they can take another step forward, and you want you know, and I'm sure the coaching staff does, and I'm sure the players do too. I don't think this, I mean, I think as fans and as writers, we should also have this expectation that, okay, you've hit this step right now. You've played this well. Can you get to the next step? Can you, you know, push forward a little bit more? Can you kind of push the envelope on maybe what those expectations are? And that's kind of where I'm at with this team too. Like, I see a honest to goodness good team, like a team that can make the playoffs. I want to see the consistency that they're going to need to get to the playoffs at this point. And right now it's, they have it in spurts, and those flashes are really brilliant. The fourth quarter tonight for the Orlando Magic was brilliant. The fourth quarter and the last half of the third quarter against the Nuggets was brilliant. I want to see that more often, and I want to see that for 40 minutes of a game. Like Skiles has said throughout the season, we're not good. This Magic team is not good enough to win games playing 36 minutes of good basketball. They need to play 40 minutes of good basketball and to win the 48. And so they're still kind of finding that formula in a lot of ways. And that's where I think that's where, you know, criticism comes from. It's not it's constructive criticism, not destructive criticism. This isn't us sitting around saying this team just absolutely sucks. When, you know, we've been through 3 years of, you know, 3 years of, frankly, the fewest wins in the NBA in the last 3 years have been with this Orlando Magic team. And so, you know, we're being a little greedy and not being happy with that team. This is a
really good team. We just want to see this.
Everyone around them should want to see them do better.
Yeah, and, you know, I think, you know, I might be wrong, and feel free to correct me if I am wrong. You know, during media day, you know, Scott Skiles made it very clear that the team wanted to have a winning record. That was their goal. The players were a lot more, you know, this, we need to make the playoffs, you know, and Skiles said it himself, you know, if you make the playoffs with a losing record, you know, that's not something to celebrate. And I think that we're seeing them kind of play with that attitude that they need. But at the same time, and you were talking about, you know, the steps that they need to follow, they have to have those in-season goals that mm-hmm. they can meet. And, you know, Skiles touched on it a little bit, you know, before they went out west, you know, those three games against the Knicks, Bucks, and Celtics were like a little three-game season. These five were a five-game season. You know, this next stretch of 8 to 9 before the new year, it's its own season. You know, they have to give themselves attainable goals, which I think that they have. You know, they're on pace right now. I believe I saw from somebody the other day for about 45 wins. I might be wrong.
I think I saw that same thing. It was like a I don't want to credit it to someone that it wasn't, but yeah, I think I saw those statistical projections as well. Yes. And that was while the Magic were on the winning streak. So, you know, they may have, like, there's still some variability there. I don't think the standings have normalized quite yet, as evidenced by who's in second place in the Eastern Conference right now.
I don't even know who's in second place in the Eastern Conference right now.
The one and only Charlotte Chris Barnwalls. I mean Hornets.
Oh, the guys at Number Fire.
There it is.
Send me numbers each week. The Magic, this was as of Monday, their projections were between 38 and 43 wins. Playoffs, 22, just over 22%. They had a small chance of winning the division. Ending up, you know, I remember, you know, going into the season, I believe that the Vegas over-under number was 32.5, I want to say. And I was right around there, you know. I was on the lower end. You were a little bit, you know, higher on them than I was. You know, we're probably looking at a team that's about 40, 42 wins right now. I think that they're going to go through a stretch where they lose, you know,
five of six, six of eight,
something like that. And then Skiles is going to make another, you know, change, you know, be it with the lineup, or maybe it's around the trade deadline and they make a trade and it sends another shock to the team. They go and they win, you know, 7 of 8 or, you know, 6 of 8, whatever they have. So, to our friend Eric Lopez just tweeted at us, that wasn't the plan. I just happened to be wearing orange today. I didn't really
think about the fact that he lost a bet. No, he didn't.
Yeah, the guy's a bright.
In fairness, shut up, right side of the sun. In fairness, I did do a pregame Utah Jazz podcast with Delicate Arch, the official symbol of the great state of Utah, behind me. So I'm guilty of it too. And I also have my autographed Stephon Marbury bobblehead doll. See,
the first time I went over to his apartment, I saw that and I wanted to steal it because it was the damnedest thing I've ever seen. And I was really confused why that was sitting up next to a Horace Grant rubber duck. But back to the, to the actual things at hand here.
The people who just jumped in are like, what the heck is going on?
This thing went off the rails really quickly.
Yes, it did. You just to get us back on track a little bit, you hit on something earlier in the show that I think was really interesting about kind of the how different players have gone up and down throughout the course of this early season. And I think we'll close on this topic a little bit. Elfrid Payton right now is playing really, 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 really well. We've seen spurts where Victor Oladipo has played really well. We've seen spurts where, I think Tobias Harris has been fairly consistent, but right now he seems to be scoring at a much higher level than he has before. What do you make then of, and now we're seeing, and as you noted, Evan Fournier tends to go up and down. We're seeing him kind of in a down right now. Maybe he's popping back up after this game and the end of last night's game. What do you make of this? Is this something that the Magic can sustain? Can Evan Fournier bounce back a little bit? Who are the real Orlando Magic in this sense then? And do we have any clue at this point?
I don't think we have any clue because, and you touched on it with the standings, starting to normalize. They'll normalize by about the end of the calendar year. We're starting to see stats normalize too. So, maybe ask me that after the beginning of the new year and I could have a completely different answer. I think that it's still too early. I say that and we're 22 games into the season. We're over a quarter of the way in.
Yeah.
But the inconsistencies with the guys, and that's something that comes with young players. And I think that we all understand that. And, guys have off nights sometimes, but I think what this really shows is the issue of them missing out the last few years in the lottery. They played the lottery and they lost. Not saying that they didn't get great pieces. I think Victor's been very good and he's going to be very good. Jury's still out on both Mario Hezonja and Aaron Gordon. And obviously Elfrid's, on one of those upticks right now. But it's a roller coaster for all of them. And I think that that's going to, really be what the Magic season is in the end. It's just going to be a lot of peaks and valleys. And that's just what it is with a young team. And again, ask me in the beginning of January and we might have a more clear picture of what this team is and what certain guys are to this team.
Yeah, I think you're right. In a team without a true star, someone that they can really turn to consistently, this is kind of what we're going to see. We're going to see guys go through runs where they play really well, and then they fade away a little bit, and then they come back after a few games. I know it frustrated a lot of people that Scott Skiles didn't have a consistent rotation and that he'd have different guys finishing games. But really, it's a deft move by the coach to kind of recognize who has it and who doesn't. and to ride with those players. And I think he did that again tonight, or he tried everything tonight. No one was really riding it, but Tobias got hot and Skiles made sure he was in the game, or, you know, Nicholson was playing really well. You know, one of the few guys really boxing out all game, you know, he got to play toward the end of the game. Vucevic was feeling it offensively. He got to play toward the end of the game. You know, it is really, everything really feels by committee and by how you're playing and what you can contribute. And so, you know, we're seeing the team, you know, still kind of settle into things. I think Skiles is trying to really commit hard to this rotation because they've been so successful since he went to it. And you can't argue against wins. I mean, I know a lot of people want to see Victor Oladipo starting, and I think eventually he's going to have to get back into that starting lineup, but it's not going to happen right now while the team is finding success on the floor. Because at the end of the day, this team wants to win, and this team is trying to win. And so, you know, when you've won, what, 6 of your last 8 games now, obviously you're doing something right. Not everything is bad. There are things that need to be improved on, and, you know, it's going to be tough. You're not going to get to them before Friday's game. You hope that the intensity and the bullseye on the Cavs' back is enough to fire up the guys to play hard and execute. But once the Magic gets some practice time, I'm sure they'll be cleaning up a lot of the issues that we saw during this West Coast road trip. Zach, it's past midnight. I got a lot of things to write. I'm sure you do too. Do you have anything else you want to add before we sign off tonight?
Yeah, we apparently get to go back and play Can We Actually Eat This with the Amway Center Food on Friday
yes.
night.
Yes! So, chicken. Blog life. No, it'll be nice. It'll be nice to be back on East Coast time with these games.
Yeah, and you know, we've learned some, but there's still a ton of questions that need to be answered. That, to be honest, by the time we talk to you guys next week, what, probably next Thursday at this point, because the Magic will be in between Star Wars night and Hedo night, that we could have learned a lot more about this team, because they have 3 games that, you know, the Cleveland game probably takes their best performance of the season to beat a good Cavs team, especially with LeBron, because LeBron always has his way with the Magic. But Brooklyn's a winnable game, and well, we haven't seen Charlotte yet, and of course Nicholas.
Charlotte's playing really, really well, but I mean Charlotte's playing really, really well. But
there's inconsistencies, and they're not going to have Al Jefferson.
Yes, and you figure again, as standings begin to normalize, and the Magic are right there in the playoff race too. I mean, I still think it's a little early to look at the standings, but they're right in the thick of things still. I think just outside the picture at the moment, but not too far out. You know, that's again a team that you want to be able to beat, a division team. If that matters for anything, it doesn't. But again, these are teams. Brooklyn's a team you got to beat, and I think Charlotte is a team that you want to beat and would be very beneficial to beat. So obviously a lot of work still to go and a lot to do as the team flies back from Phoenix, flies back from the West Coast. They'll be at the Amway Center for most of the rest of December. So lots of opportunities to get a chance to watch this team up close. More importantly for the Magic, a lot of opportunity to get to work and practice. They've usually done a lot better when they have that opportunity to practice and sharpen some things up. So I think, you know, I don't think we'll see a repeat of last year. The team just fell apart during this usual home stretch of the regular season at the end of December. Well, that'll do it for this episode of Orlando Magic Live. Thank you all for joining us late night here as the Orlando Magic fall to the Phoenix Suns 107-104. Zach and I are still kind of experimenting at the right time to do this. We want to get interaction with you, our fans. So if you're listening to this on the Orlando Magic Daily podcast feed, if you're watching this on YouTube, leave us a comment. I'll see it. Shoot us a message on Twitter. You know, leave a comment on one of our sites where we post this. Let us know what works for you on this.
You can even email us.
You can email us. What's your Twitter? What's your Twitter and your email, Zach, so people can find you?
Yep, you can find me on Twitter at @ZachOliverNBA, and then my email is going to be zoliver8812@gmail.com, which conveniently you can also find in my bio on twitter.com, where I will not be making any puns and will likely be verbally throwing pens at Philip for his puns.
And my Twitter account is, of course, omagicdaily. And then my email address is omagicdaily@gmail.com. That's the best way to reach me. And while I only respond by pun on Twitter, I will respond in iambic pentameter to you in email form. So that'll do it again for tonight's episode of Orlando Magic Live. We thank you all for listening to this episode and for joining us here late at night. Again, the Orlando Magic fall to the Phoenix Suns, 107-104 to complete their road trip. For Zach Oliver of Orlando Pinstripe Post, this has been Philip Rossman-Reich of Orlando Magic Daily. We'll catch you next time here on the show. Thanks for listening and watching.